doing the in Toldos Parsha Chavov. So you have really you have the the episode with Avimelech, right? Avimelech, Avimelech was his sister, and then Avimelech saw them, and Avimelech saw them, and he realized his wife. He said, "What did you do to me?" And then it says, "Vayizra Yitzchak Baratzahi, Vayimtzah Rishona Imei Hashem Vayvarachir Hashem." So Yitzchak planted, and he. And the harvest was very great, and God blessed them. Okay, then it says, then you have from Shlishi to Ravi, you have a very interesting parsha here. Vayigdal ha'ish, vayelach halof v'godel ad ki gadol ma'od. He became great. It says, vayilon b'knei tzon b'knei vakav v'ra rabba. He had a lot of sheep, a lot of cattle. Vayekano ha'set plishtim. And he was very successful. He had a lot of material objects, and the Plishtim were envious of him. Right? And then it says, "V'chol haberos, all the wells that the servants of his father dug in the time of Avram, the Plishtim closed them up and filled them up with dirt." Then it says, "Avimelech told Yitzchak, he says, go, leave us." Because you're too, you become too great, become too powerful. I don't know why this pasuk is in between the well, what does it got to do with the Be'eros? It says first, says Vayilam Mitnasam Mitnevakav Vada Rabba Vayekano Aso Plishtim. They were jealous of him. The next pasuk should have been Vayomav Melech Yitzchak Leich Meimonik Hitzamtim Menu Ma'od. Go, leave, right? No, in between you have all the Be'eros, which the slaves of servants of Avram. The Plishtim closed them up and filled them up with dirt. Next case. Vayelach Mishom Yitzchak went left Vayicham Benachal Gror, and he dwelled in Benachal Gror Vayeshav Shom. Then again, then it says Pasuk Yitches. Next pasuk. Vayoshav Yitzchak returned Vayachpars Beiros Hamayim. He dug the wells Ashechofru B'mei Avram Aviv. Vayesatman Plishtim, closed them up. Achrei Mos Avram, after Avram died. Then it says, Vayikral and Shemos, he called them names, Kashemos Ashakoro Hanoviv. Same names that his father called them. Again, back to the Be'eros again. Next pasuk, Vayachbrav the Yitzchak Anochal, Vayimtsu Shom Be'er Mayim Chayim. Okay, now we get back to the incident. Actually, this pasuk also is a. It sounds like it's in the wrong place, but anyways, all right. They dug in the nochal. Bear they found the bear. Vayarivu roe gror in roe Yitzchak lema lana hamoyim. So the shepherds argued as to who the water belongs to. Vayivar shem haber Esek. He called the name of the well Esek. Esek is askuimal because they had an argument over it. Vayachru bear acheres. The second well, Vayivigam Aleha, Vayikra, they fought again, Vayikra Shema Sitno. Hatred. Vayatek Misham, he moved from there, Vayachpo Beracheres, dug another well. Below Ravu Aleha, they didn't argue about this well. Vayikra Shema Rechovos, he called the name of the well, Rechovos means like a broadening, widening, expansive. Why? Vayoma Kiata, Hichaler Hashem Lono, now God, widen the situation for us. It broadened our expanse. The Ufarina of arts. And now we're going to be successful. Now we'll be successful and we'll multiply the land. What's it got to do with anything? The whole thing doesn't make any sense. Then Vayal Misham Be'er Shava and Vayar Lo Hashem Balad Leon Avayol Ke Avicho Avram Avicho Al Tir Tichon Anochi. Again, there made another bear. Then Avimelech came along. Avimelech came to him. and Achuzas, his friend Achuzas, and Fichol Sartzavo, they came to see Yitzchak, and Yitzchak said to them, "Why did you come to me? You hated me. You drove me out. What did you come to see me for?" And he said, "No, we saw that God was with you, and we said there should be a shvua between us. Okay? The nichris of resima. Should make a treaty with you. And tasem on a raw, kashel on a ganucho, kashel sinucho ratov, vashlech atom, atata bruch Hashem." Then it says he made a whole, he made a mishnah for them. And then they came and they told him about the Be'er that they found, and he called the Be'er Shiva, and the name of the city is Be'er Sheva to this day. What is all this thing with the Be'eros? What does that have to do with anything? So it's interesting. The Ramban says that Ramban, of course, noticed the difficulty with this whole parsha. It's a difficult parsha over there. So Ramban says, "Vayikra Shem Ber Esek Yisaper Akosu VeYarich Binyan Aberos." He says that Pasuk tells us and is Marich. The Pasuk is very wordy about the very lengthy about the whole issue of the Beeros. He says, "Ve'ein Bepshutei Asipra To'elus." And there in the plain shot in the sipur of the story, there is no benefit. V'lo kovod gadol Yitzchak. And there is no great covet to Yitzchak. V'hu v'oviv asu asom b'shoveh. He and his father made them both the same way. First they closed them up, and then they opened them up again. He says, "Avol yesh b'dov ha'inyan nistar b'socho." He says, this whole parsha with the Beeros comes to tell you something nistar. Something hidden. Ki bolo dia dvar osid. Ki bear mayim chayim yirmos lebeis alokim. Because the bear mayim chayim is a remnant for the house of God. Ashe yasu bonav shel Yitzchak. V'lochein hiskir bear mayim chayim. Kmo shem mokar mayim chayim. Mokar mayim chayim is Hashem. V'koro harishon esek. And he called the first one esek. Yirmos lebeis harishon. Asher es asku imonu. Vasu asano kama machlokas, v'kama mochamos, atshech harivu, v'asheni kara shmo sitna, shem kashim in arishon, v'u bayas asheni, shekara so v'shmo, shekosubo, v'u malchus ha-hashverosh, v'tchilas malchuso, kosu sitna, v'yosh v'yehud v'rishloim, and then the last, v'chal yom v'yelon l'sadn, atshech harivu, v'golam in a-golse, v'ashlishi kara chalas, and the last bias, that's the bias that will soon be built. So it says, "Shebana b'mehera b'yameinu v'hu yaseh below riva matzav v'akel yachav v'lulenu k'mo shenem arvim yachav v'ashem v'akecho as gevulcha k'asher dibor shehu l'osid v'ksiv bayis ha-shlishi r'chova v'nazba l'maylo l'maylo farina v'arsh ha-shekolam farina v'arsh ha-shekolam miyavduhu shchem echa." Okay, so Ramban says that it's an interesting Ramban. I mean, the Ramban says that there's no the Pshuta Shel Mikra, really, the plain shot in the Pasuk doesn't teach us anything. And it all is for a purpose of it's a remez, an allusion to the Asad Lava, to the future times, that the last Beis HaMikdash is going to be called Rechavos. Because then it'll be, the first Mikdash was, where there was problems and arguments, even when it existed, and then they destroyed it. But the third Mikdash will be Rechavos. There won't be any Machlekes, and the Jews will be able to be set strongly there, and all the nations will come and worship God together. That's what Ramban understands the parsha. There's nothing wrong with having a Dovah Nistar in the parsha. The only thing that seems to be strange is that the parsha itself, the Pshuta Shel Mikra, should have no meaning. That is something that's strange. I mean, you do, there's a Pshuta Shel Mikra, Chazal say that the Gedash and Torah is Nidrash many ways. One pasuk can have many meanings. Two pasukim can't have one meaning, but one pasuk can have many meanings. Because there are many allusions in the pasukim. ideas, concepts. So it can be more than a literal meaning. But what I find difficult about the Ramban's pshat is to say that there is no pshat in the pshuta shel mikra, that it's only a remez. I mean, this is something that's very difficult to accept. So I was thinking of another pshat in the parsha, what the parsha means, a different pshat in the parsha. And if you take a look, you see it says like this. It says that really that Yitzhak was successful. God blessed him. Then it says Vayigdal Ish, Vayelach Holoch V'Godel Ati Godel Ma'od. Then it says Vayilo Miknitzon Miknevokov Vud Rava Kanos Plishtim. Plishtim were very envious. He became prosperous, and the Plishtim were very envious. Okay. Then V'Chola Beiros, and all the wells that Avram Avinu's servants dug, so the Plishtim closed up. Suddenly that pasuk comes in. Remember we mentioned before. What does that pasuk have to do with anything?
Wasn't that how they were jealous and therefore they got back at him?
Well, you see, you have to understand things like this. That then he went and he reopened those wells. Now the thing is, did he need those wells or did he not need those wells? It seems that he went Then it says, and then he went and he redug the wells. So and then it says,
you
want to so the other wells, how many wells are there? In other words, what did he care about the wells that they closed up for from the time of Avraham Avinu? I mean, there's two different groups, sets of wells over here. So Rashi already noticed this. Rashi already, because the pasuk is like this. So he went to Nachal Gra, right? Okay. Then it says, then he returned and he dug the wells. And he called them, right? Now Rashi says, because Rashi's bothered with the problem. I mean, those wells, he dug those wells. I mean, you can understand why those wells, why he didn't, he had opened, reopened those wells, if he needed the wells. But what was the, then he left, so he went somewhere else, so why is he worried about the old wells? See? So Rashi switches the order. He says, first he redug the wells. So in other words, they were jealous, first they were jealous, then they closed up his wells, and then he reopened the wells, and then they said leave. Okay. I was thinking of a different pshat that would maybe would explain the way the pasuk is written the way it is. The thing is like this: that really those wells weren't the wells that he needed, that he used. But really, the thing is that you see, Avraham Avinu dug certain wells. Had his servants dig certain wells. They dug wells. When people, and he called them names. Now the names, when people would come to these places in the desert, resting places, so they would stay in the they would stay there. And the name was, it had the name of Avram. It was named that Avram Avinu gave it. So people would know that this well was dug by the, so who made this well? It was dug by the servants of Avram. So then, it was, so therefore Avram Avinu's name was attached to it. And then they would come, and they'd come to see Avraham, and of course the house was open. And it was something that was done in order for the people to be able to reach Avraham. It was part of Avraham Avinu's program to reach people. Now the thing is like this. The moment when Avraham Avinu died, so Yitzchak took over. As a machlokes, really, machlokes were showing whether he was poor or not. The evidence says he was very poor. Because in the beginning he says that what were they fighting over? A pot of beans. In the beginning it told us. Esav and Yaakov, they're fighting over what? He says, if this was a house of wealth, so what were they fighting over the beans over there? And the Ebenezer wants to say that he lost his money. Ramban doesn't like that pshat. Ramban says, what do you mean? He was Rav Mazel, he lost his father's money. He says, and then what happened? And one of the riyas that the Evan Ezra brings is that he says that why did he have to have his son go and catch the deer in the field? If he's such a wealthy man, what does he need the deer for? So the Ramban says, from there itself, yeah, it's going to be very difficult. Why? Because later it says that by the brachas, that he went, that he said he should prepare the deer. So he says you're going to have to say that he was very poor, and then later the pasuk says over here he became very wealthy, and then he became poor again. He says it's ridiculous. He says that's impossible. But at any rate, the question is whether at one time he says that the Ramban says no, he wasn't poor. All right, but the Evan Ezra says he was definitely poor before this incident. Pshuta Shel Mikra, I'd say, is more in line with the Evan Ezra. He was poor, because first it says, Vayizah Yisrael Bar HaSahi, Vayimso Shani Himei Hashan, Varachay Hashem, Vayigdal Ish, Vayilach Halach HaGadol, Laki Gadol Ma'od. If he was wealthy, so what is it? What does it mean he went bigger and bigger? According to Ramban, it's a little bit difficult. But of course, you could say, according to Ramban, you could say that what it means is that he originally inherited a tremendous amount from Avraham Avinu, but it wasn't on his own. This was simply money that he inherited from his father. But Vayigdal Ish, Vayelach Halach LeGadol means that he himself started to prosper. He made the business even greater. It was his own contribution. Either way, to me, it doesn't make any difference. Either way, you learn shot. Yeah. So what happened was that then he started, either like the Ramban says, he started to make it on his own, tremendously started to increase what is his wealth, and or he was poor and he lost Avraham Avinu's money and he started to regain his wealth or to become wealthy on his own. Either way, but you see what happened was like this, that. What happened was, the moment he started to make it on his own, before that they weren't envious, because Avraham Avinu was a tremendous father figure. Everybody respected him. He was accepted as a great individual, a great leader. Like the Ramban says, kings came to him to make treaties, and they were honored to be with Avraham. Avraham was a world figure, and Avraham was a very famous, wealthy person. That was really part of the main reason that he had the wealth, was because people respect wealth. So that's why he had to be wealthy. And in order to exert influence, he had to have the money, he had to have the financial prosperity. Now Yitzchak himself at first wasn't a quiet person, you know, was a son of Avram, he really wasn't in the limelight. Now what happened was like this, that you see, there is a tremendous, in the way it works sociologically, when a person is rising, if a person is rising to fame, he encounters tremendous hatred and tremendous opposition and tremendous envy. I mean, any person in the history almost that was a great individual encountered such a type of thing. If you read the history of great people, you'll find that that's always the way it was. The Rambam in his time, the people were against him in Baghdad, and the Rosh Shiva of Baghdad, and many quarters, they were against the Rambam. If you read some of the letters of the Rambam to his Talmidim, you'll see that the Talmud was very upset and started a fight with him. The Rambam said, don't argue. He said, after I die, the Rambam says, you'll see that my Sefer will be one of the most important Sefer that was ever written. He says, right now, during my lifetime, you'll find, though, that people are very envious, and they're not going to accept it. And the Rambam knew farewell what was going to happen, and that's it. He's very, very happy to be in reality. Some of his Talmidim were very zealous, and they were makhler in the Rebbe's covet. So they started big arguments, but the Rambam accepted the reality of the situation. He knew that that's the way it always is. You see, now why is that so? It's so because once a person has attained a certain stature, Alach HaMisa, certainly there's no envy anymore, Alach HaMisa, after a person dies. But there is a certain amount of acceptance that a person has also in society. After he reaches, once he gets through, if he breaks through the barriers, and he reaches a certain acceptance, then he becomes an authority figure already. He's accepted. But till he does, there's tremendous amount of envy and hatred, and people try to stop him to prevent such a phenomenon. Because people try to minimize as much as they can the authority figures that they have to look up to. They try to economize on it. So therefore, they will always stop a person that's about to become or is in the process of becoming an authority figure. That's the psychology of people, you see. Now, really, this parasha tells you about this, how that happened. Vayigdal ha'ish, vayelech ha'olach v'godel, ati godel ma'od. Then he was prosperous. And over here, of course, it was the financial. Because, like I said, the financial prosperity was really a tool for the fame that Avram had. It was a means to give Avram Avinu the fame, so that he should be considered an important person, and through this he was able to exert a tremendous influence. So Yitzchak also was starting to gain prosperity, and because he was gaining financially, and he had a tremendous amount of material wealth, so Vayekanos Aplishtim, they became very envious. It's a natural thing. They don't want this man to rise to fame, to become such a great figure. They want to stop him. So what do? The wells that were, you see the wells that had the names that Avram Avinu gave them, they closed down. Why? Because as long as Avram Avinu died, or even during his lifetime, they wouldn't have the nerve to stop it, because they had accepted him. But now Yitzchak was coming into the scene. So really, these wells from Avram reflected Yitzchak also. Because here, what happened to the people who talk about the well, where Avram Avinu passed away, but his son is in his place, he's taken over, he's just like he was. See? So the wells became an instrument of recognition for Yitzchak now. Now that Yitzchak was coming into his own right. So the plishtim closed them down. That's why that pasuk is right there. Vayekano also plishtim. So what's the first thing they did was they closed down these wells, which were spots in the desert, perhaps, or wherever they were, in order that people should, when they come there, they see, they come and stay by this well. This is the well of Avram. So it was something which gave him respect. When they saw that Yitzchak was coming into his own, so then they closed down those wells, because those wells started to reflect Yitzchak. They didn't want that. Right. As long as Yitzchak was nothing, they were very happy. Well, yeah, Avraham Avinu lived here a certain amount of years ago. He was a great person. He had certain ideas, a great philosopher, a great thinker. Yeah, very nice. But now Yitzchak is taking over. That they didn't want to see. So therefore, they closed down the wells. So and then it says, next pasuk, that wasn't enough. Leich me'imonu. He was very honest. He said, get out of here. Ki yatzamta mena ma'od. Of course, you became too big. We can't tolerate it. Very honest person. We're envious and we don't want you here. So he left. So Yitzchak left and he went to Nachal Groh. Then Vayoshev Yitzchak Vayachboros Be'eres Hamayim Ashechof Me'avram Lovi Vesam Vikohen Shemos Kashemos Ashekor Lanovid. Now those wells were really a part of the program to bring people to the ideas of Yadus. So he went, and he had them redug. So the passers-by will come, and they'll recognize, they'll ask about the wells, and they'll tell him where to go. Yitzchak is now, first was Avram's. He gave the same name as Avram Avinu did, was to show that's the exact same concepts as his father. And he's, in the meantime, he's still alive. People know it'll be a source of publicizing the whole system. Then it says like this. He went away to Gerar already. He had gone to Gerar. But what happened over there? When he dug the well over there, so it says they started a fight. They argued. Why did they argue? So they called the bear Esek. You see, the Be'er also, Be'er was a very important thing. Be'er was, the Be'er Mayim Chaim was a source of life. You see also by Hagar, that she called the Be'er, Be'er Lachai Roi, Be'er Lachai Roi, yeah. So you see, the Be'er is important thing. So what happened was, he called this Be'er Esek. Why did he call it the Be'er Esek? Because they argued with him, it was an event in his life, and he named it according to this event. We'll soon see what it meant. Next, the dog again, he called it Sitna. Seems to have gotten worse. Sitna seems to be worse. But then it says, Vayatek Mishon Vayachpor Beracheres, another Be'er, and they didn't argue about this one. Vayikra Shmo Rechovos, they call it Rechovos. Vayomer Kiato Hirchavar Hashem Lonu Uforinu Horetz. What does it mean? It means like this. So Yitzchak knew that what happens is like this. First, there's tremendous envy against the person who's rising to fame. But then what happens is like this. After a while, it's possible for the person, not always, sometimes a person doesn't break through during his lifetime, but it's possible for the person to cause the people to yield. In other words, that he becomes so dominant a figure that they yield before him. Now, when he dug why were they arguing with these wells? The arguments with these wells were simply to demonstrate the hatred. They still hated him. And he was known all over. It wasn't like he went to a different place. No, they knew him all over. But the hatred continued. Whatever he did, they always tried to cause problems. Found some water. Nah, you can't have it. The last well, they didn't fight. So when he saw they didn't fight, so what did he say? So he said, Kiato Hirchavar Hashem Lono Farina Varetz. He says, now I see that apparently my image has changed and they've accepted me. Because you see they're not fighting. So he says, and that's why he says, Kiato Hirchavar Hashem Lono. He says, Hashgacha apparently saw fit that during my lifetime I should be an accepted figure Ufarina Varetz. Now we're going to have Hatzlacha. Because people have already accepted me as an authority figure. Then it says, "Vayal Mishem Ber Shava, Vayeru Lo Hashem Balaylo Vayem Anochi LeKev Rom Avicho Al Tiro Kitcho Anochi Uverachticho VeRbeisi Azaracho Bavor Avram Avdi." Vayiven Shem Mizbeach VeYikro B'Shem Hashem VeYet Shem Olo VeYichur Shem Avdi Yischok Be. But oh, so what did he do really? So you see, once he was an accepted figure already. So Vayiven Shem is Beich Vayikra B'Shem Hashem, just like Avram Avinu. Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. So the same exact lashon by Avram Avinu. Vayikra B'Shem Hashem means that he opened up a house for people to come, that he could discuss and explain to them the true concepts of God. Vayet Shem Olo. You see. So once he already saw that he was an accepted authority figure. So then he was Bonim Mizbeach, and he used the all his fame he used for the purpose that it was given to him for, that he should be able to be Kerev Hashem Ad Hashem, Yikrev Hashem Ad Hashem. Then it says, Vavimelech Holach Elav. Now you see what the whole story fits in. Vavimelech Holach Elav Migror, Vachuzas Mereyu, Vayam Alei Mitzvah, Madua Basim Eloi, why did you come to me? You hated me? You threw me out? No, Vayam Ro'o Ro'inu Kihoyer Hashem Imach. See, what does it mean, Ro'o Ro'inu Kihoyer Hashem Imach? They, what happened was, that was the transition. The transition took place. That at first, when they threw him out, so they hated him. Because he was in the process of rising to fame, and they were envious. But then, what happened was, they saw already that he was really a great person. So they had to acquiesce, they had to yield. That was precisely what happened. That was like the third well, Rechavos. And I said, so then it says, in the meantime they dug another well, so he called it Be'er Sheva, Kishom Nishbushneim. No, that was the other one. The guy says Shiva, came Shem Be'er Sheva Ariyamazet. Yeah, so why did he call it Be'er Sheva? Because this was a new landmark in his life. What happened was all the Be'eros were named after different expressions of the Hashgacha in his lifetime. First, they didn't accept him; they hated him. They didn't accept him first. Apparently, it got worse. They hated him even more. And then there was Rehovos. They accepted him, and then Be'er Shah. So really, this parsha shows you, actually, it shows you really the whole development, the whole personal development of Yitzchak. Really, it's interesting. One thing's interesting about the parsha, though. This is really the whole parsha of Yitzchak Avinu's life, of his active life. But it's interesting that even in his active life, if you look through the parsha, you'll see that he was different. He was different than Avraham Avinu. Why? And what really is the mark of Yitzchak, really? Which pasuk really is the mark of Yitzchak Avinu in this whole in the whole parsha? It's where it says pasuk Yitches, Vayoshev Yitzchak Vayachpars Be'eros Hamayim Asher Chofru Bimei Avraham Avinu Vayisatman Plishtim Achrei Mos Avraham Vayikra Lahen Shemos Kashemos Asher Karo Lahen Avinu. So you see an interesting thing about Yitzchak's life. Yitzchak was really basically passive. See? What he did was he really was not creative in terms of his relationship to society. And we mentioned this in the when we spoke about the brachas. It was not a man that was really knew how to go out to society and to make tremendous new breakthroughs, new headway. And new innovations in society. He didn't have anything to do with society, really. He was a quiet, withdrawn person that just lived the true ideas. But he contributed to society. He had a chiyuv, he had an obligation within his own framework. What did he do, really? All he did was he redug the same wells that his father did, the same thing that Avraham Avinu did. He opened up the doors again, opened up the system. He wasn't innovative, he wasn't creative. And really, if you look through, you see the way he said, "Vayatek Mishum Vayachbo Barachares Lorav Alavikr Shmar Rachovos V'Yomar Ki Atoh Hirchiv Hashem Lono Farinu V'Aretz." Now God broadened the expanse for us, and now we'll be prosperous. It was really more or less he was dependent upon the way the Ashgacha. He said, "Now I see the Ashgacha turn this way. This is what's going to happen. It's going to be good." But the really he didn't. He did his. It's true. I mean, he did what he had to. But basically, in turning things around in society and making things different, he really didn't have too much of an active hand. He went along and did what he had to do, and the rest was left up to the Ashgacha. Ashgacha turned the things in his favor, and he was a successful. Now I see he'll be successful. Okay? Because he wasn't the person that was able to really go out of his Dalan Amos Shalalacha. That's why before it says that he wanted to leave right in the beginning of Pasha. Chavav Alvi Rav Barsav Movado Rav Rishon. It's the beginning of Pasha actually. Asher Hoyv Me Avrom Vayelach Yitzchak Alav Melach Malchushin Gror. Vayelach Hashem Vayom Al Terev Mitzrayim. Shchom Baratz Asher Omar Alacha Gur Baratz Hazos Ve'eye Imcho Vavorcheka. You see, so Rashi says, what does Rashi say? Al Terev Mitzrayim. Shehoyah Daita Loredas Mitzrayim. Kamar Shiyard Oviv Me Rav. Amalo al terim mitzrayim shata ola tmima vein chutz loretz kedai loch. That's what I meant. Ata ola tmima vein chutz loretz kedai loch. You're not like your father. Avraham Avinu can go chutz loretz, he can go anywhere. He knows how to deal with people. He knows he can. No matter how the society changes, no matter what the scene is, he can handle it. But you can't. So you stay here. They know you're here. You have your place here. You stay here. That you're an ola tmima. Ola tmima means that he was completely involved in the true ideas. And he really was not involved very much in the sociological ideas. Practical. He wasn't involved in the practical. But this parsha, actually, what it does is, it shows you really the nature of the life of Yitzchak. What he did according to his makeup, what he was able to do, and how he was successful. How the Ashgacha saw fit to give him his role that he played in terms of society as one of the others. That's really what the parsha is about. No, this was not a fault. Definitely not a fault in Yitzchak's life. It was the type that he was. That was his nature, and he wasn't obligated to do anything more. That the person is not obligated to go outside of the realms of his own natural way. You're right. Rashi, that's right. You see Rashi. Kigodol Ma'od Shemem Zevel Pardosov Shel Yitzchak V'lo Kaspov V'zahava Shel Avi Melach. Right, that's the way it starts. As soon as the man has something, so people start noticing him, then the envy starts, and they, that's the way it always is. The question that he's asking is, how come Noah was criticized? Was criticized for the fact that he didn't go out to the masses, you see. But Yitzchak wasn't. The reason is like this. There's one big difference between Noah and Yitzchak. Yitzchak went out. I want you to say Yitzchak did. Vayikra Shem, Vayet Shem Olo, it says, Vayivin Shem Esbeach, Vayikra Shem Rashem, Vayet Shem Olo. So he did the same thing that his father did. The only thing is, Yitzchak went out. The only thing is, see, Noah never went out. Noah didn't go out. That was an imperfection on his part. He really, it wasn't that he didn't want to go out, actually, by Noah. Because it says what Tzadik, no matter what you say, I mean, you gotta say the man was a great man. But the thing is, the way we explained it once was that he had a different problem. He couldn't go out to the people because he himself had certain weak emotions that he could have been drawn into the whole way of life. He wasn't strong enough to deal with them. It wasn't his fault, but what was his fault was that he didn't perfect himself to the point where he wouldn't be influenced by them. That was really his fault. So he didn't reach the real perfection. But Yitzchak went out. The only thing is the way he went out. There's different ways of going out. And a person could sit by himself in a room, that definitely is wrong. A person has the present obligation that he must go out to help others to have the true ideas. And that he did. The only thing is that he wasn't an original innovator in reaching masses of people. He followed what Avraham Avinu had set up already. Dug up the old barrels, set up the house. That's it. He followed the same way that Avraham Avinu. That was the way. But he went and he did, because that obligation everybody has.
But is that normal?
That's an interesting point. The question is, the fact that Avraham Avinu was his father, was that better for him? Or was that to make it more difficult? You have an interesting example. You have a similar example by Shlomo HaMelech. When Shlomo HaMelech died, so Rechavam took over. So really, he called together his council to discuss what to do. So they were wise people. They're from the council of Shlomo HaMelech, so naturally they're wise people. And they told him something like this. They said that your approach has to be different. They said, you can't tax the people like your father did because the people are tired of the taxes and you have to be easy with them. They said to him, and simply said, if you will be a servant, you will become a servant to these people, they'll be slaves to you. But if you're going to try to be authoritative like your father, you're going to fall. So he didn't like that answer too much. So it says over there that he called together another council. The younger people that weren't as knowledgeable politically. And he called together that council, and of course that council advised him exactly what he wanted to hear. Which
was right. Do without advice of the council.
Right. Why can't do without advice of the council? Because, after all, that's not right to do things without advice without council. He had to convince himself that he wasn't simply going crazy. He wasn't going that far. Person likes to fool themselves. So that council was really just there in order to fool himself into thinking that he's taking counsel. But actually he was doing what he wanted. And he came out from that meeting and he told the people, he said, my father taxed you, I'll tax you more. And exactly the opposite. So you know this is what happened. So they broke off. And broke up all of Klal Yisrael because of that. He lost most of the nation. So you see that there is some type of a carryover from the father to the son, that the people will tolerate. There's a case where they tolerated from Shlomo. Why did they tolerate from Shlomo? Because Shlomo had done so much that they simply had to tolerate it from him. But really they hated what concessions they were making, but they had to do it. But now, the moment the figure of Shlomo is gone, now they're not going to take it from Rehavam. On the contrary, all the hatred that they had that was suppressed will now land on him. That's why the first council was very wise. The first council said, if you will be an eved to these people, if you will be a servant to them, they will be slaves to you. See? Regner said, that'll be the only way to do it. That'll be the only method to do it. So that's the way it works. Over here, on the one hand, it gives him a certain prestige. The fact that he's, you know, he's carrying over from his father. So there's something that was established already. It's not like starting on his own. But on the other hand, all those things which they felt by Shlomo that they tolerated, that they really were angry about, that they suppressed, now they'll have an object to for their anger to release them, release stuff against, see, which will be him. So in a way, it's like a twofold thing. It's by Shlomo over there was a twofold thing. On the one hand, it gives him the status, raises him up, you know, son of Shlomo, great. On the other hand, he's going to absorb all the hatred. But so the way out was the right way, was to be nice to the people, be subservient to the people, then they'll be happy. Then they won't want to. The idea of being subservient really is to turn away their wrath and their anger. See? That's really the purpose. It would seem with Avram also, the fact that they closed those wells over there. Because there was a certain undercurrent. Yitzchak faced a similar situation. There was a certain undercurrent of animosity towards Avram because he was they had to tolerate the fact that he was an authority figure. So it put Yitzchak in a certain position, but simultaneously he was the object of a lot of venom because of that. Especially, but it seems the venom came out by Yitzchak, especially when he became successful in his own right. That's when the hatred really came out. Until that time, apparently Yitzchak ben Avram, they could tolerate. Yitzchak ben Avram, that they could tolerate. See? Yitzchak ben Avram, fine. You see, they didn't close the walls before. Why didn't they close the walls before? The answer is because Yitzchak ben Avram, he could tolerate. Yeah, he has a son, he's fine. He's not really very much. He's just holding his own, his father's estate. Yeah, that they could tolerate. But Yitzchak Avinu, I mean, when he started to act in his own right, to be prosperous, then the hatred started to express itself. Yeah, definitely. You see, the wealth was something that made it more tangible. But the wealth, really, people aren't jealous of another person's wealth. Qua wealth, insofar as wealth is concerned. Because wealth in terms of physical pleasures and enjoyments, people aren't that jealous of. Because especially today, you see, I mean, most people have what they need. And in terms of their own needs, I mean, certainly a middle-class person has everything anybody could desire in terms of his enjoyments, physical enjoyments. A wealthy class isn't even that much different. A little better house, a little better car. You know, basically, it's the same exact thing. It's not... Today, especially, the difference isn't that great anymore. But the envy really is not because of the materialism that the person can enjoy, have greater enjoyment in life. I think people realize even down deep that these little things don't make that much difference in the enjoyment of life. But it's the wealth is really a certain prestige, and importance that the individual wields, the power that he wields because of his position, which they're really envious of. It's really the power and the prestige more than the materialism, actually. So Vayigdal Ish, he became wise. Vayigdal Ish, Vayelav Gadol Ma'or. Well, you see the pasuk. So what? He like so on. Vayelav Gadol Ad Ki Gadol Ma'or. What does it mean? Gadol Ma'or. I mean, Vayelav Miknesen Miknevakro with a rabba. What? So that's somewhere. It's not. It's the Gadol Ma'or that really disturbs the people. Gadol Ma'or means that he's projected into a different. Sphere.
Would you say the same result would occur if he was, let's say...
There's no question about it, but the fact that he had his own unique philosophy, a separate way of life, really emphasized the whole situation, exacerbated the situation. Because he had a unique way of life and his own philosophy, and he's independent, wealthy, it was a whole aura of independence. If a person would be an Ovid Avodah Zarah and also be wealthy, it's only one aspect. But in other aspects, you see, he has to yield to the whole system of Avodah Zarah. See, but Yitzchak was a whole separate entity. And what really, why they were so angry at him, well, other people, this is a good point, other people were wealthy too. He wasn't the only one in the world who was wealthy. Other people were wealthy. But the point is, it was the combination of the fact that he had his own ideology, his own philosophy, and now he was materialistically set, very wealthy, like a man is, represents a total autonomy. That really is what disturbs the people. That's what disturbs the people. Yes?
When you
But I want to make sure that the hidden hidden meaning of the psukim of Ramban works out very nicely. See? Based on this. Why? Because really it's the same story with Klal Yisrael. The exact same story with Klal Yisrael. And what is it, what happens, how does it work with Klal Yisrael? That the Klal Yisrael also has an inception. Has an inception, has a beginning. Maimar Sinai. What the Chazal say? Why do they call it Sinai? Mipnei Shishom Yorda Sina Lomas Olam. Hatred devolved upon the Jews the moment they had Sinai. Why? Because Sinai represents a certain autonomy of thought. It represents a nation that simply will not be subjugated to the thought and to the ways of the other people. That's what it says. What does it say in the Megillah? The Dasam Shonos Mechalav. As Dasam Melech Einam Osim. Olam Melech Ein Shovel Anicham. What disturbed Haman? That was the thing. The fact that this nation is an autonomous nation. And really, the idea of the brachas was supposed to be that the Jews should have prosperity also. You see? But the first Mikdash and the second Mikdash, like the Ramban says, was first one was Machlaikis and the second one was Sitna, was more hatred. That was, this whole struggle is because the world is struggling, just like they struggled against Yitzchak. And they did not allow him to rise to his proper position because of the hatred and the envy. So we as a nation live through the same exact experience. That's what Chazal mean when they say Maisav Asimul Abonim. Whatever happened to the Avos happens to the children also. It's because a natural result, because they represent, the Klal Yisrael represents the same ideas and is being played out in a larger social framework, but it's the same concept. But that's why the Ramban says that eventually Rechovos, what does Rechovos mean? Rechovos means in the third bias, the third Beis HaMikdash will be a time when the Jews will rise above, just like the Jewish nation is accepted as in their rightful position, and the people acquiesce and they yield and they recognize the position of the Jews, then it'll be Rechavos. Then there won't be any more Machlekes. Then there won't be any more Machlekes, actually. Because at that time, once the person gains the acceptance, over here, of course, it's the nation. Once the nation gains the acceptance, that figure has conquered insofar as people recognize them, and they become the accepted figure. Then the hatred on the contrary, people want to join them. They know there's no hatred against them. They have to accept it. So that's why he says, Ramban says, that in the third, that'll be in the third Mikdash. In the third Mikdash, the Jewish nation will emerge as a people who overcame all the hatred through all the generations, and yet they saw that people will say they were right, and they will be accepted. It says, V'yatu Shechem Echa, then all the nations will come and serve God. On the contrary, once they're recognized, the Jews are recognized, and they won't, just like Avimelech. Ra'o Rinik Yad Hashem Imoch, and they'll join the Jews in worshiping God. That's the Ramban, yeah. With regard to the fact that Yitzchak, actually this belongs before, with regard to the fact that Yitzchak had a different personality, and a person only has to work within his framework, there's an interesting thing among Chazal. Like you find by Chazal, you find that there were two schools, Shammai and Hillel. Right? And you see that Shammai was a tough character. When the guy came to Shammai, and Shammai threw him out. What do you mean? What kind of business? Get out of here. So he came to Hillel, and no, he was patient and so nice and took his time. And then the Gemara says over there that La'olam Yehei Adam. The Gemara says that a person should be a, what's the lashon he is? Noyach. Why La'olam Yehei Adam Noyach to Hillel, and he shouldn't be a kaisen like Shammai. So the question that we could ask is, I mean, what do you mean? Shammai was a bad person. Shammai didn't know this Gemara. Shammai Azakin was a tzaddik Gemara. So Shammai didn't know this Gemara. I mean, later they discovered this. Machlokes is by Shammai Sillel, and Shammai himself didn't know. Shammai was a tanit. So how could the Gemara say that? So the answer is like this, really. The answer is, and the Gemara talks a lot of times about the two different types of personalities, the takifim. Certain leaders of Klal Yisrael were takifim, tough people. And then you had the other kind that were very soft, very kind, quiet, friendly. It's two types. So what's the pshat? Which is the right way? So it says like this, that the truth of the matter is that you have to have both. A Kal Yisrael must have both. Why? Because, on the contrary, one really helps the other. You see, if you only have takifim, so naturally you're gonna chase away people. But on the other hand, if you only have people like Hillel, if the leadership is only like Hillel, then the whole respect for Torah will be lost. Because really, Shammai is right. There, if a person comes over to somebody and asks him, tell me the Torah on Regalachas. I mean, as if it's nothing. Man, he was really making light of the whole Torah. There's no system here. Would anybody have the nerve to go over to a person who won the Nobel Prize in biology and ask him a stupid question? And he wouldn't. Have respect. This man is a great scientist. You can't just go over to him. You have to have a certain amount of derech eretz. So if the only type of person that they would encounter would be a Hillel, so the Torah would lose its whole chashivas. People would believe, yeah, there's nothing there. You're right. You go over and ask him. There's any questions. Nothing. The only really Shammai's reaction was the realistic reaction. And that's the right reaction. The only thing is that you're not going to win people that way. So you have to have the other side. You have to have another face. Kol Yisrael has to have another face. The other side is the side that's kind. But kindness is only good if they recognize that there's a system there. How are they going to know there's a system? It's only from the fact that you have the takifim. That you have the other front. That there's a system. If you don't have the other front, the kindness is nothing. People think it's really nothing. Who's Hillel? I think Hillel's nobody. The only reason that they recognize that there's that Hillel, that they recognize the Torah's value, is because they see from the other side there's a system here. Why do the takifim throw them out? What are you, an idiot? I can't spend time with you. You want to know something? Go sit and learn for 10 years, then come back and see me. So Hillel's reaction is very good, but it can only have meaning if you have really the other side, the takifim as well. So the question is, so why is it that you have, what kind of thing is it to have both? The answer is that every person can only work within the framework of his own nature. See? A leader can only work in the framework of his own nature. So there were two types of leaders. And each type was right, was correct to work within his own framework. The Shammai was right, that was his framework, and you needed Shammai. It had to be that way. And Hillel was right, that was Hillel's nature. Hillel worked within his own framework. You need both kinds. I'm not saying that simply they gave in to their own misunderstanding. I'm not saying they simply gave in to their own emotions. Not true. Each one was a shita, each one was proper, and each one was worked out according to halacha, each one was worked out philosophically properly. But a person can only work, and you need both, and a person can only work within his own framework. Yitzchak worked within his framework, just like Yaakov had a totally different framework, worked completely differently. But you must have both. But when the Gemara says, La'olam yehe adam noach ki Hillel, and not like, it shouldn't be a kabdon, la'yeh kabdon ki Shammai, what it means is that insofar as the leadership of Klal Yisrael is concerned, you have to have both types, both fronts. But insofar as an individual is concerned, an individual is seeking perfection, he only must take Hillel's side. Because if he takes the Shammai side, then it's imperfection. See, Shammai has a right to take that side because he represents something. It's not for himself. He's not a captain for himself. Yeah, Shammai wasn't a bad person. Shammai was tremendously perfected in Midos. But the only thing is that when he represented Klal Yisrael, he represented Torah, he had to act in accordance with a certain framework. But for an individual, a person who's not a Gadol B'Torah, person just he himself personally, how his life should be, he should choose the root of Hillel. That's what the Gemara says. Personally, you should choose Hillel for personal perfection. But insofar as representing Klal Yisrael, you have to have both sides, and both sides are correct. Because each side has to work within its framework. All right, I just wanted to add but one more thing about the Be'eros. That what were the names of these Be'eros? That Avram named, Yitzchak renamed them. So I was thinking, you see that the Be'eros were named after events in Yitzchak's life. In
In other words, events that signify the Ashgacha, the Yitzchak. And you see also that the by naming children, they did the same thing. They named the child after a certain event of the Ashgacha. Kishom Hashem Banyi, Kishom Hashem Snu Anochi, Hashem Banyi, Reuven, all these different names. And the idea was to immortalize a certain concept. So children were used because children carry the fantasy of mortality. And it seems that Be'eros also, Be'er Mayim Chayim, was representative of the source of life, so they would use the concept, they used the Be'er rather, to immortalize the concept. And it would seem that's how Avram named those Be'eros also. He named them after certain concepts of the Ashgacha, certain events that happened to him through the Ashgacha. So this way, people would hear the name, and the name would publicize a certain event of the Ashgacha. It was an event in his life that had to do with the way he had to conduct himself vis-a-vis the exposition of the true ideas. I just wanted to add one more thing. A man showed me that there's a Rambam in it's from the Moshe Rav Kook, that they in the end of Hilchos Malachim, they claim that there's some of the Rambam was taken out because the notes from the Christian censored it, and it talks about Yeshu. So the Rambam says an interesting Rambam over here. The Rambam says that he mentions about Yeshu, and he says that it's interesting. He said, "Av Yeshu anotzi shadima shiur Mashiach v'nerag b'vaystin k'farnes nabe bodaniel shnem obnei paritzi amcha inasu laham and chazam v'nachshalom." So he says that that the Neil's nevuah refers to this occurrence, and then he gives a reason why why Yeshu and why Mohammed had to take place. And he says that it's only Liyasha Derech LaMelech HaMashiach, to pave the road for the Melech HaMashiach. Why? Because he says like this. He says, then how does it work? He says, "Kvarnes Mali Olam Kulam Medivrei HaMashiach Umedivrei HaTorah Umedivrei HaMitzvahs Upashtu Dvarim Elu Be'im Rechokim U'ba'amim Rabim Arlele Ve'im Nosim V'nosim B'dvarim Elu V'mitzvahs HaTorah Elu V'mitzvahs Elu Amesayu Kvar Batlu Bezman Ezev Le'inogos Adoros Ve'elu V'mitzvahs Dvarim Nistarim Yesh Ben Ve'inak Pshutan V'kvar Bo Mashiach V'gila Nistareya. He says, so he says like this. He says, "Kishiyamar Amalach Mashiach Bemes V'yatzliach V'yam V'inasem Miyarim Kolam Chozim V'yodim Sheshech Nachlo Avaseinu." So he says that the Rambam says that to pave the road for the true Melech HaMashiach. Why? Because now they have the Torah, the Gentiles, and they know about the Torah, and they know about everything it says, and they argue it and they debated it. So meantime, at least they're familiar. The groundwork has been laid that they have these facts. Now, when Mashiach comes, they will immediately see that this really is the true Mashiach. So, and that their way is Sheker. So, this really is an extension of what we said with regard to Rechavos. Rechavos means that there will be total acceptance. And total acceptance is when they see that it's like Avimelech said, Ro Reina Kihoi Hashem Imach. That the only way that the other nations will really ultimately recognize the true way of Torah is only after they've gone through a whole period of, in other words, they've been primed for the process. They've been familiarized with it. There was the conflict and the animosity and the jealousy all existed. And then when they see the truth, they'll see in retrospect what the reality is. So that's the then they have to totally accept. Then they have to totally accept. A new phenomena a person doesn't accept. A new phenomena first person goes through certain stages. They have the envy and they have the hatred. So now they've that's what the Rambam says, that the fact that the other nations they have Islam and Christianity really primed the way because it brought them into the. Yeah, brought them into contact with the Torah, and it laid the groundwork. So that psychologically, when they see when Mashiach comes, they will have gone through all these false emotions already. They'll have to recognize those things are all false, and they'll have to see the truth. That's the idea of Rechavas. Rechavas is after the only time they can have acceptance is after they've gone through those preliminary stages. They went through those emotions, and then they saw that then they see that they're false. Then it's Rechavas. But they have to go through those stages first.